This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
RFK's VP pick, FTX fail 2.0, DeSantis versus Disney, and more. The Monica Perez Show starts now. Hey, y'all. Thanks for coming. If you are listening to this on a podcast, then you're a little bit late to the party. We are broadcasting live on all of my video platforms. Rumble, rockfin.com/Monica Perez, YouTube, where if you're logged in, you can join the chat and I will chat with you at the bottom of the hour, read some of your comments, Insta, Facebook, all of that. And if you want to support me, then you can subscribe, you can share the show. I really just want to get some reach. I put a lot of effort into this and it's really just to share some insights and get conversations started. So share the show. And if you hate the commercials like I do, you can sign up for iTunes Premium at The Monica Perez Show on iTunes. Okay. Interesting stories today. I did not necessarily grab the low-hanging fruit of the top headlines. And as a matter of fact, I'm opening with a story that I kind of thought was a throwaway. It's this story where Amazon is investing billions of dollars in the AI company Anthropic. Anthropic, I don't know. Oh, Anthropic, of course, because it's like philanthropic, but anthro, because it's human, AI, whatever. I don't follow the AI stuff closely, but I did a lot of work on SBF and FTX, which is crypto. I don't follow crypto that closely either. So I'm just trying to look at this stuff as a layman and not as an expert. I can't even understand what the experts are saying, even like amateur experts, as it were. But this one caught my eye. Let me just tell you what the investment is. It's billions of dollars. Anthropic is using Amazon Web Services as its primary cloud provider for mission-critical workloads, including safety research and future foundation model development. And Amazon is a major investor in Anthropic, and it's a minority shareholder. But I looked into it because when I just clicked through who's Anthropic, or I didn't even click through, it was just in the article. It's an AI company founded by siblings, Dario and Daniela Amodei, it's an Italian name, they say. And I have to say, I know this is bad, right? But when I see the chick, like the YA for the sister or whatever, I kind of feel like the chick is there for optics and I weight heavily like the guy's contribution. In this case, I actually think they're both potentially beards for just a massive, like mega company conglomerate. But what I wouldn't know anything about it, except for it said that that Anthropic's founding principle is AI with human values. And that only caught my eye because I was like, okay, I don't even think we agree on human values. Like that is how far, what a schism in humanity that we can't even agree on fundamental human values. So I just started looking into it. Like, what do they mean by that? Oh my gosh. I opened a can of worms that I've opened before. Let me tell you about it. So the company was founded by these siblings. They worked at OpenAI. And it's like, oh, OpenAI, like I said, I don't really follow this too much, but OpenAI is, I think, the ChatGPT company. Yes, it is. So that company, listen to who the cast of characters who originally founded OpenAI, which I'm sure you've heard about, Altman and Musk having a little beef about this when it went to stopping a nonprofit and no longer was there just to serve human values or whatever. But the founders, I mean, you've got to smell a rat when you see the list of founders here. Sam Altman, who I don't really know except for the recent beef, Greg Brockman, Reid Hoffman, the LinkedIn guy who was behind the fake Russian bots that totally altered the, was it Arkansas or Alabama? I think, shoot, one of those. It was a big deal. It was Jeff Sessions' seat, and it should have gone to the Republican who was whatever, kind of fringy, went to the Democrat because these guys interfered with the election, and his partner, Reid Hoffman's little consortium were the people who wrote the report for Congress on Russian interference in the election, and they were the biggest perps. I'm not kidding. We did a lot of work on that in the Propaganda Report. Jessica Livingston, Peter Thiel, super sketchy character, Elon Musk, of course, created person. Others involved from the beginning, Amazon Web Services, who made this additional investment. Infosys, I think Infosys is the company that Rishi Sunak's father-in-law in India owns, which I think is why Rishi was literally installed as prime minister, like no democratic processes to speak of, in my opinion. I did a couple of deep dives on that too. And let's see, YC Research, I don't know who that is, but maybe I don't want to know. Anyway, they pledged $1 billion to the venture, but it's much more than that now. Okay, let me read you a little bit about OpenAI. I released ChatGPT. It was formed in part on the principles of effective altruism. So does that ring a bell? That was an SBF thing. So it says, a broad social and moral philosophy that influences the AI research community in Silicon Valley and beyond. Well, it must include crypto because SBF was a big believer in that. And I read somewhere else that the big splash ChatGPT made when it escaped the lab or whatever was this moral question, and that it was the big drama made people focus on the morality of AI, like all of a sudden. And I wondered why they acted like that thing was like, oh my gosh, it escaped from the lab or whatever the story was. I'm being funny, but like, it was basically that story, a little lab leak or whatever. And I feel like there had to have been a reason. And the reason probably was to have it like an initiating moment where they could decide how they were going to frame the conversation. And what I've read lately makes me think that's true. Some followers, I think this is WikiGo, live in private group homes where they can brainstorm ideas, engage in philosophical debates, and relax playing a four-person variant of chess known as Bughouse. Again, that was the FTX thing. But it's also very Silicon Valley, the show. So if you watch that show, like it was like an incubator house. Anyway, the movement includes people devoted to animal rights and climate change. God help us. Drawing ideas from rationalist philosophers, mathematicians, and forecasters of the future. So just a note about, when I did look into the SBF thing, I looked a little bit into the effects of altruism, it seems very artificial, very created. Likely it's a way to get AI regulation or the totalitarian technocracy justified on moral grounds or ethical grounds, just the way we have humanitarian wars. This is going to be humanitarian, totalitarian technocracy. But in practice, these people who are too young, I think, to understand the folly of their ways, they're intellectual or fancy themselves as such. It seems very elitist. It seems very subjective, so they don't seem to have any hard and fast rules about right and wrong. It doesn't really matter so much how they make the money, how they spend the money. They don't want accountability. It feels like their subjective judgment of the means, the ends, and all of that is as far as it goes. And it actually says in one of these things that I'm reading, I think this was in the journal, there was like a little expose or an in-depth article about this in the journal. It says, supercharged by hundreds of millions of dollars in tech titan donations, effective altruists believe a headlong rush into AI could destroy mankind. Yeah, they're called like, and these people from, what is it called? Anthropic are supposedly modern day Robert Oppenheimers and AI doomists, I guess, because of this. They favor safety over speed. So Anthropic starts with, we are a safety company. for AI development, the movement, which includes people who helped shape the generative AI boom, is insular and multifaceted, but shares a belief in doing good in the world, even if that means simply making a lot of money and giving it to worthy recipients. This subjectivism is absolutely dangerous, absolutely dangerous. And then here's the punchline is that effective altruists say they can build safer AI systems because they are willing to invest in what they call alignment, making sure employees can control the technology they create. Oh my goodness. And ensure it comports with a set of human values. So far, no AI company has said what those values should be. And I actually think when you democratize stuff like that, you make people very vulnerable to whatever the organizing force is there. So I see this as just riddled with traps. I don't know what they are. I think we'll see over time. It was a flag, though, to see that human values thing. And I did not think I would fall into the rabbit hole of effective altruism. And guess what? In this Anthropic, SBF was a major donor. I think he put in $500 million in the second round of financing. So, it really is something that bears examination, this idea of the altruistic technocratic tyranny or tyrannical technocracy. Like, their SBF went down in flames. And today actually was his sentencing. I'll tell you about that in a second. Okay, so on the Anthropic website, it says they have a constitutional AI, they call it, which hilariously is shortened to CAI. Not CIA, CAI. It's a framework developed to align AI systems with human values and ensure that they are helpful, harmless, and honest. Honest. CAI does this by defining a constitution for the AI that consists of a set of high-level normative principles. Normative is like shoulds, that describe the desired behavior of the AI. These principles are then used to train the AI to avoid harm, respect preferences, and provide true information. I want to know what they mean by true information. It says AI companies are a piece of one big puzzle. This is on their website. It has the potential to fundamentally change how the world works. We feel that we are just one piece of this evolving puzzle. We collaborate with civil society, government, academia, nonprofits, and industry to promote safety industry-wide. This reminded me of the White House Bill of Rights of AI that we talked about on a Union of the Unwanted a couple of weeks ago, where they have like these maybe five principles of the Bill of Rights, and one of them is being safe and effective. Where have we heard that before? But it says AI should proactively protect you from harms, including removing itself from you. So proactively protect you from harms. That means like a preemptive, kind of like, I think they call it a priori restraint when it comes to First Amendment stuff. Like, we don't even want you to hear stuff that might hurt you, which is highly censorious. It says they want to protect you against irrelevant or harmful data use. Devil's in the details. And then it goes on to say, as a like a DEI thing, like you can't be discriminated against, it says they're going to use disparity testing and mitigation to see if algorithms end up discriminating. That wasn't a quote. That was just my like paraphrase. But what that means to me is if the algorithm tends to feed people stuff that may be stereotypical for their demographic, the algorithm, because disparity in, I mean, what do they call it? Like disparity in results, disparity in outcomes. That kind of thing is considered de facto racism, even if it is actually, it's kind of almost an inversion, because what it may be is a reflection of a true situation. You know, not culture can be stereotyped sometimes. And, you know, but I don't care about that. I'm not saying they should stereotype, but that's what this stuff is. When they predict what you want to look at next, they're just looking at your, let's just say they're just looking at your personal behavior. But if the algorithmic outcome may feed into a stereotype, they might lead you away from things that you normally would see or that you want to see or that a normal algorithm would get you to see. So it seems that this is going to be very manipulative. I'm sure there are way more sinister implications than anything that I kind of saw or am prepared to predict at this point because I'm not in the industry or anything. But it was so funny. I had absolutely no expectation that those two stories would connect with each other. Really not. But I did have on my radar that SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried, the founder of FTX, about whom I've done several shows, which I'll put in the show notes to this show on MonicaPerezShow.com, that he was sentenced to 25 years in a medium security federal prison. And because of certain ways that it works, someone in his position could have his sentence cut in half. And also there could be work release programs. There's different things that can happen. I will tell you, I do not believe in these guys serving hard time because I think this whole thing was a setup until I see it. And sometimes not even then. So with all the guys who went down under Trump, Roger Stone and Manafort and who was the lawyer, Michael whatever, and even General Flynn, until I saw them in jail for years on end, I wasn't believing it. And you know what? I don't think any of them served even a year in jail. I think Roger Stone probably went on purpose for a little while just for fun, but he got out seemingly unscathed. The Harvey Weinstein thing, I don't know if he's in jail or not. And I mean, even when it comes to like Jeffrey Epstein was in a country club jail, I don't believe Ghislaine Maxwell is even in jail. Right now, I thought maybe she was dead, but she has a very powerful family, so I doubt that. Who else? Johar Tsarnaev, would they tell us he's in jail? But he is, in my mind, definitely dead. Like, no question about it in my mind. So we don't know this stuff. Also, FTX was in the newspaper today because apparently, so FTX was the business that went under when Sam Bankman-Fried went under. It was the thing that, imploded in a blaze of glory with the vicissitudes of crypto and his own malfeasance. So they gave it to a guy, John Ray, I believe, who was a complete dinosaur. I think he was the Enron guy. And he was apparently in over his head. So in my mind, like, for them to let us see that, it was intentional. And it probably is a cover for, or it was like an excuse for what they intended to do, which was simply to make investors whole, which they did, rather than reboot the company and actually get those people more money. And supposedly some of the investors, some of the people who were impacted by the bankruptcy are not happy that they just got their money back because Bitcoin and crypto stuff has gone through the roof since then. So they missed out on this tremendous opportunity. And if you read the articles, there were many, many suitors who would have merged with FTX. It had millions of users and they said they would give them tokens to use that would compensate them for their FTX shares and all that kind of stuff. But this guy just kind of walked away. And it said like the Harmed People Association also kind of said, okay, walk away. But I don't know who made that up. That's another thing. Like, it sounds very democratic, but whoever's controlling that group of millions of users who really don't have a say could easily collude in some subpar outcome. And then it also reminds me of two other situations. Conrad Black, who did go to jail, and he was, whatever his media empire was, I forget, but he was running it the right way. And they put him in jail for harming his shareholders. And in so doing, harmed his shareholders. He would not have. They would have been fine. Same thing with Martin Shkreli. I think SBF is designed after Shkreli, who did the like healthcare stuff, but he was arrogant about it. He was like, I'm just going to charge. These are expensive drugs. We have a patent. I'm going to charge through the roof. People need it. Insurance companies will pay. Something like that. And he went to jail basically for being arrogant, kind of like Martha Stewart. But by putting him in jail in the name of his harmed shareholders, whom he had not yet harmed, it visited a lot of harm upon them. So this seems like kind of the same thing. Another weird one was like, was it Bear or Lehman Brothers when it went under and dragged the stock market with it because Hank Pearson, was that his name? Henry Paulson got up and said, oh my gosh, the world, the sky is falling. And it created that big bailout fund and all that kind of stuff. Barclays always wanted to buy that, whatever, whichever one it was that went under, that was the real trigger, and ultimately did buy it, but they were not permitted to buy it by the regulatory authorities, I think, because they wanted to wait until the damage was done, wait until their policy objectives were met. So anyway, I think the whole SBF FTX thing was an elaborate ruse to regulate crypto in keeping with this idea of effective altruism, that I am going to make money however I have to. I'm going to hurt whoever I have to, because the bigger picture, the long-term thing is crypto needs to be regulated because regular human beings are too idiotic to understand the power they have to harm themselves. But in fact, it's the power, and on a collective basis, you could harness the power. Whereas when it's just individual, it would not be so harnessed. So I've done a lot of work on that. So you can go listen to my old shows if you're interested. Okay. I've been thinking about the bridge, the Key Bridge collapse. And I was very super sad about the people who were right away. The first thing I thought of were the people who died, the six people. The next day, was it today or yesterday? I woke up all over the news. Oh, we feel so bad for those people. But before they even said that, they led with the government workers who saved so many cars that were going to go over that bridge at 1 o'clock in the morning need high, high praise. Yes, we lost some migrant workers who were on the bridge at the time, but yada, yada. I'm like, you know what? Don't give me, always lead with how first responders. And as a part of this research, I went back to the Angela Chow story where Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law ended up in the drink and died in her Tesla submerged in a pond on a ranch. And even her own father, this billionaire, I'm sure is genuinely devastated. It's like, oh, thanks so much for the first responders. It took them 24 minutes to get to her and they didn't get her out. And I think that that was, I don't even think that was their fault, but she was dead. Like and it looked like it took a long time for them to rescue her. Something weird went on with that story. But it was strange because they said that of these six guys, two of them were found in a vehicle that was submerged under the water. That is what happened with Angela Chow. And the Wall Street Journal, like not that long ago, last couple of weeks, wrote this story about how, what do you do when you're submerged underwater? Like this thing that happened to Angela Chow, like that could happen to you. Like, I don't know. Like, that story was very fishy, if you ask me. But now all of a sudden, like, it's just things like that just pop up in the news. It's very weird. They said that they did a report and said that she had had alcohol in her system. She was driving from the back house where she was having, like, a girl's party to the main house where I guess she was sleeping herself. And this is the news on this. Most recent, she was doing a K-turn and accidentally put the car in reverse, right? You do put the car in reverse for a K-turn at times, but I guess it was the wrong time. And she called them. She said she was, this article said that she was on the phone with her friends for 8 or 9 minutes. And I don't know. The story is very sketchy, but they wouldn't have a recording of that call because it wasn't a 911 call. Anyway, it's very upsetting. Now, a few things that, the biggest thing I thought about this bridge. I saw that it's the Port of Baltimore. It imports or exports or both cars, vehicles, roll on, roll off stuff, it said. Also did LNG, liquefied natural gas. And I'm thinking, LNG tankers are serious stuff. I've told you about this before. And I thought, LNG, like they're really trying to push LNG. Was that bridge up to snuff? It was a 50-year-old bridge. Was it tall enough? Was it wide enough? Like maybe they wanted to put LNG tankers through it. So I looked at a picture of an LNG tanker. Oh, I wish I had one handy. Dang it, I should have set that up. They're ginormous. They're ginormous. So to the extent they wanted to push those things through, I wouldn't be surprised if they would have preferred a different bridge. And you know what happens with this, the bridge going down in this way, the Hatsip to Carroll, the insurance is going to pay out, I think, $4 billion. So right away, if whatever the corpo governmental continuum wanted to replace that bridge and thought they would have two fights on their hands, a nostalgia fight, and there was nostalgic. There's a whole nostalgic thing in the newspaper today One of the journalists lives near there, and you got to hear his, like, you know, you could almost hear the tears fall from his cheek as he doesn't see the bridge anymore, sees it in shambles. So nostalgia, historical, whatever, there would have been a fight. And there would have been a fight of the taxpayers paying for a new bridge to accommodate private industry, I presume. I can predict. So now they have the money. They don't have to ask permission to blow up the bridge. And here's another thing. Angus and I were talking about the Tappan Zee Bridge, where what they did was they built the Mario Cuomo Bridge alongside the Tappan Zee Bridge, which there was nothing wrong with, as far as I could tell. Even they said there was like some wood pylons or whatever, but I'm pretty sure they're meant to be replaced, but I don't know. So, but they couldn't open the new bridge until, they couldn't take the old bridge down until they built the new bridge. But see, now they don't have to wait. You have to wait to drive across the bridge until the bridge is built, but you don't have to wait to drive a ship through that hole. So then you have, I mean, I don't know exactly how it's going to shake out. I'm not sure this is for sure the truth. However, I can think of a lot of reasons that this thing would have been sabotaged. And in one of the articles I read, it said that the ship drifted to that pillar. But if you look at the picture, it looked like it took a hard right, if you ask me. And I mean, that's what I thought, but whatever. So there was just little added thoughts I had on the bridge. Another article of the news I talked about before, I was surprised at how few details there were here. Disney versus DeSantis. So I guess a couple of years ago, Florida passed a law that DeSantis signed. It was called the Don't Say Gay, but I'm pretty sure it was basically no sex ed in elementary school of any kind, which is fine. So then Disney, under pressure, this was in the journal, under pressure from the LGBTQ community, denounced DeSantis and that bill, act, law, whatever. So it seemed pretty clear that DeSantis retaliated. I mean, I don't think this is true. I think there was stuff going on behind the scenes, but the way the drama was playing out, the causal of the mechanism of all of this was DeSantis then said, oh, you want to diss me? You're in a, you control your own like districts. You have the special legal district that Disney World is in, and it's got its own like bond raising. It's got its own debt. It's got its own taxes. You make your own rules. Yeah, that's over. That's over. So since last time I talked to this, he replaced the Disney people who ran that town with his own appointees, including some political donors. But it seems like the big thing, which was, oh my gosh, if he takes this away from Disney, there's $1 billion of debt that like the people who live in this town might have to pay. I couldn't find a definitive answer on this, but it looks like Disney that not a lot changed during this little changing of the guard. That it looks to me, I could be wrong. If somebody knows, you can answer. You can tell me. Disney will pay the bonds, but other elements of that town's limits or agreements or whatever were eliminated, and I wonder if that's where the real, like that, those little details are where it's important. But the news today was that Disney, who had been suing or had brought a case against DeSantis and company for retaliatory, you know, political persecution in violation of Disney's First Amendment rights, which I'm not even sure I believe in limited liability corporations. And I just don't think I believe, I don't know. I guess it's too much. Our corporate personhood. I actually can see the pros and cons of it, but I'd like it a lot better if people were just responsible for their own actions. And let me see what this year's bill, was it this year? Wasn't that, this is a little bit of an old article. It renamed the district the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District, the CFTOD, and it gave the governor ability to appoint the board's members. And they were not permitted to be Disney employees. Anyway, so now that it's all settled, Disney can go ahead with their development plans. And my guess, it seems like a win-win. And my guess is it was a win-win from the very beginning. And I know people love DeSantis and he has had some really great policies and very good outcomes during the COVID thing. But, you know, it's like what I say about the Stones and Tavistock. Like, you won't, if Tavistock is responsible for some of the great music in the 60s because it was part of their cultural revolutionary plan, they aren't going to pick the crappy bands. They're going to pick the Rolling Stones. Like, that's going to be the good stuff. So if DeSantis is slated to be our, inside job president at some point, of course, he's going to have this great track record. But it doesn't mean that he's not doing what they all do, which is facilitate the corpo-governmental continuum behind the scenes. I don't know. Maybe not, but I feel like it was probably a win-win. All right, let's see if there are any comments. And, oh, I want to play a little game. I sometimes have here like a couple of hundred viewers live. And yet, if you go back and look at the views on YouTube, it won't show that. It's certainly not right away. And I just wonder, as Graham from Grimerica would say, what kind of fuckery is up with that? So I want to do a little experiment. I've seen before where I've had more likes than I've had views on YouTube. So if you are watching live right now on YouTube, if you could smash the like button, and I'm not doing that just to get likes, let's see if I can get 100 likes and then you see that I only have like 60 views. I think that'll be telling. Okay. Should I have more stories? But let me just see if I have any comments. So Stuart is offering, hello, Stuart. Stuart is offering Stella a happy Good Friday because Stella is in Australia. Oh, anthropic, anthropomorphism, Dale says, is the attribution of human traits, emotions, and intentions to non-human entities. Very good. Oh, that's sad. Okay. Yes. So Sessions was from Alabama, and that is where Reid Hoffman interfered with the Senate race. Frightening Me says the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Not that I think these people have good intentions, but that's how they conceal their plan. Exactly. And then you have the incompetence canard, incompetence in a huge way. And sometimes it doesn't even discredit the person because I always thought this about Bernanke. Like, even if he's proven to be a horrible disaster, he fostered the intellectual, the popular or the powerful economist's paradigm. And he will always be hailed as a hero. Did he not win the Nobel Prize or something? Like, I mean, I didn't predict that exact thing, but I knew that was coming for years, that he would be a hero no matter how horrible. Because what's happening now, this inflation that you're experiencing now, in my opinion, is a function of him kicking that can from 2008 and then us having basically, you know, very, very slow debt collapse until they trumped up COVID and instituted a policy that just filled that debt hole up. And now we have the inflation I blame on him. So Kevin says, all the news is scripted, agreed. FTX was just a script. Yes, there's no evidence anybody was harmed or was out of pocket. Totally agree. We also haven't sent any dollars to Ukraine. Just gaslighting. We haven't sent any dollars to you. Are you saying that the $60 billion, like in the first round, did not go? Or was it just like old crappy ammo or what? Stella says, I wouldn't disagree. There's never any way of proving any of it unless as an eyewitness. And you know what, Stella? I have known people who have been very close to things that I just don't believe for one second are real. And if there's just a couple of degrees of separation away from you and the event, I'm telling you, people go to the mat as if they've seen it themselves. Like, it's really crazy. Like, you get this kind of like second order quasi eyewitness effect, which is pretty compelling. You know, it's very convincing because people really, really believe it. They almost think that they've seen it themselves, but they have not. The bridge, Jack says, the bridge was racist, according to Booty Gitch, so it had to go, but I don't know who that is, so I cannot comment. Oh, Francis Scott Key, because it was a foundational thing. I don't know his backstory. Sometimes a song is just a song. Although, probably drove plenty of people to buy into official narratives. Kevin says the Mouse versus DeSantis was just gaslighting for the DEI trans stuff. Anti-family script worked through lots, got angry. But it was more than that. My guess is that in a real money way, Disney benefited. Thanks, Frightening. I always smash the like button for your show. Thanks, guys. I'm not even looking at the, I'm so bad. But yeah, smash the like button. Smash it. And hit the little bell. Because this is a live show, so if the little bell goes off, you'll know that it's a live show. Oh my gosh, I love Carl Hiaasen. And I don't think I've seen Tim Rat. I saw all of the ones like Skin Tight. I read all those. He writes children's books. I have a couple of those. Flush, I think, was one of them. His brother was a journalist who was killed in a mass shooting in Philadelphia that did not get much fanfare. I have absolutely no idea what the story was there. And Carl Hiaasen himself is quite liberal, but he has that homeless guy who eats roadkill, who has like the most perfect teeth ever. And it ends up like he used to be the mayor or something. That's just such a great character. All right, speaking of Disney, Team Rat by Carl Hiaasen. Yeah, it all takes place in Florida, is a worthy read. Very funny and rather damning too, for what it's worth. I did like Carl Hiaasen. Oh, wow. See, this crowdsourcing of information is so fantastic. Thank you all for pitching in. Calvin, that bridge was hated by the locals. Narrow and very highbrow, made people afraid, sick. The crash also bypasses years of planning and red tape. I'm telling you, though, it was in here. I want to see what day is today that we had that. The bridge story. I just want to give you the name of the author because of the story in the Wall Street Journal about the bridge. Was it yesterday? I don't have yesterday's newspaper next to me. Oh, by the way, a newspaper is actually, let me see if I have a front page for you. It is actually $5. So for less than the cost of the newspaper, you can have my show commercial free on iTunes. Okay, getting distracted. Oh, very good. Very good point, Angela. It's impossible to predict the future 100 years, let alone thousands of years into the future. That's how you know effective altruism is BS. It absolutely is. And that's just the kind of altruism that I absolutely refuse to see the Oppenheimer thing. Absolutely refuse to see that movie. I won't even give it the time of day. I won't even read the blurb, but I assume he was made into a hero or presented as like a deeply ethically conflicted yada, yada, yada. I think not only did he make the bomb, I think he gave it to the Russians, not because he was a communist, but because it was essential for the defense industrial complex to continue to grow without a hot war. So it's all awful, but they will, even if the greatest human tragedy in history was meted out by your hands, you can still be a hero if your heart was in the right place. Even if a super smart guy's brain was in the wrong place. Anyway. Oh, Pete Buttigieg came out and said the bridge was racist. Really? Oy vey. Yes, did you like that? The $5? Hey, man. Isn't it worth having someone else read the newspaper? I hate reading the news. I never read the news. It was a serious weakness in my investment banking because I didn't want to read the news. Even when I was at WSB, I only had the show on the weekend. So I was like, I'm not reading the news. People would call and ask, what do you think about this? And I'd be like, read the news? No, seriously, don't tell anybody, but it was like a serious problem. Yes, you cannot wrap fish in my show. I'm very sorry to say that, but you can wrap fish in somebody else's show and go with that. Or do you guys have a pink newspaper? Wasn't the FT the fish wrapping newspaper? Wow. My videos now. Oppenheimer was portrayed as a genius hero victim because of the communist investigation. Wow. Wowie, wow, wow. Oh my gosh. LNG is making a lot of money for these companies, especially since the Nord Stream 2 mysteriously blew up. Absolutely. It's insane that Europe would get American LNG when they could have gas pipelines going up through Syria or whatever and across Ukraine. That's what I think. But I actually, maybe my thinking is outdated on this, but in the beginning, I thought that's why those were the two hotspots, because those were the two routes for gas pipelines up into Europe. Sure. Okay, I do have a couple of more stories. And Stella, stick around because I have a little something for you too. Let's see what we got here. Oh, the RFK VP pick, Nicole Shanahan, who was Sergey Brin, the founder of Google's wife. I was like, Sergey Brin's wife founded 23andMe. Like, this RFK Jr. has jumped the shark. He did jump the shark with this chick, but she was the second wife. The first wife was Anne Wuchitsky. She, it says in her wiki page, grew up on Stanford campus. Her sister was the CEO of YouTube, which is no surprise since Sergey Brin is the face of Google. And she's involved in the Giving Pledge, which is where all the billionaires pool their money to control the world forever, et cetera, et cetera. Shanahan, I mean, she's not that interesting. It's not my type of politics anyway. She's 38. She runs a foundation focused on reproductive rights, criminal justice, and the environment. Kennedy said Shanahan matched the list of attributes he was looking for in a running mate as someone who has worked to increase access to healthy, pesticide-free food, has an understanding of tech and AI, and is athletic. I mean, did he find her on Tinder? Like, what are you talking about? She's athletic. Maybe Trump will have to get Gnome because she's got those guns. Maybe this is just a race to the most cut female VP. Anyway, he praised their shared skepticism of government agencies and support for more aggressive border security and legal immigration. More aggressive legal immigration? Anyway, he said it's actually the legal immigration that's going to knock your kids out of, compete with your kids for spots in college and good jobs. I mean, I'm not objecting to it per se. I'm just saying the illegals are the ones who will help you elevate, whether that's fair or not. I'm just saying. He said it was important to him to have a running mate and like not the insane PSYOP immigration that's happening now or that it's killing people or whatever. They're deliberately bringing in dangerous characters. I'm just talking about back in the day when people would sneak over to pick your grapes or clean your house. Although I think the grape pickers were allowed because Big Ag gets to not have minimum wage or whatever. Okay. He said it was important to have a running mate who was young and could appeal to pessimistic young voters. She was a political novice and was thrust into the spotlight over her public split with Brin amid a brief alleged affair with Musk that both of them eventually denied. She said she aligns with Kennedy on issues such as vaccine skepticism and the environment. So given that I think everything's fake, including him, I'm guessing that the focus is going to be climate lockdowns or whatever, rather than an end to or an expose of vaccine harms. I don't know. Could be wrong. Okay, I've got a few more things, but I guess they will have to wait. Although this, I have to tell you. The IRS has 2020 refunds, and this happened to me. We had a refund from 2020 that we never got, and our accountant was like, yeah, it's just taking forever, it's just taking forever, it's just taking forever. And then when we bought this house, we needed the money. So we called the IRS, and they're like, oh, yeah, there was just a hold on it for this reason. Like, we'll send you a check right now. So if you have one of those refunds, like 1 million people are supposed to have those refunds, they're expiring. Can you imagine refunds expire? Not only to file, but to claim them? Expire? Do you, someone very close to me has been fighting their own tax debt for decades. It is not expiring, but the claims to the refunds are. So if you or someone you know might have a claim, do not wait any longer. Make sure that you get that money back, or at least file for it. Anyway, I could go on and on, but I am not. I'm going to go to a clip. Okay, so what this is unusual. I'm going to play this clip. It's a clip from a show that I'm bringing to you. I'm going to live stream it next week because I am taking my special guy, my husband and I are taking him on spring break. So the other kids can handle spring break themselves. I've never been a big family vacation person because going with a kid who has Down syndrome, you need a vacation after that kind of vacation. So when I take him away from his structures, I'm running around constantly. But I want to, and I hate to take off because we're in a rhythm here, getting together on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But I, you know, that's what happened last time. I could not continue at the pace that I had set to myself because I wasn't really, I didn't have enough time for my family. So I'm taking it. But we're going to live stream. I have a show with Jim Lee and the lovely Stella from Australia on what are the lines in the sky. And the answers might surprise you. But what we're going to do is we're going to stream it live here next week on Tuesday and Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. So you guys can come and chat and everything. I won't do a newsreel, but it'll be well worth it. So I will leave you with this short excerpt from that show.
Same thing they're saying here, that if we make cooling contrails during the day and we melt them away at night, then we can geoengineer with pollution that's already making clouds. We just need to kind of reconfigure it to cool the planet. Recent work in the margins suggests cooling contrails are worth investigating, even though decide to sidestep the issue of geoengineering and form a governance subgroup to decide if this is legal or not. But it's worth investigating.
Sidestep so, that issue.
Yeah, so 2010, Ulrich Schumann, 2017, Rengasai Halthori, 2023 for this one. Yeah, they've been talking about this for 13 years now. Is it going on yet? I don't know. What I do know is they have a clear plan to do it. And if you combine that with this, longyear.com, go to the weather modification history timeline. And this is just kind of the punch in the face right here. Let's click artificial clouds and
this is such a great site. I mean, it's just
it's my fun place.
I mean,
isn't it?
I know that
amazing. You just get lost in there for hours.
Yeah. You have that Brennan clip where he's just like, "Oh my gosh, geoengineering is so cheap.
We think geoengineering is a great idea at the CIA."
Gosh. Now that I'm head of the CIA, I get the coolest stuff.
I get to play with all the toys.
It's killing me. Oh Lord. There it is. So, yeah, there's this geoengineering with Jed Fuel. Oh, yeah. Fuel system for vapor trail control.
Nice. When was this patented?
Yeah, this is the patents. All the links and the references are on the page. Right, but this is basically, here, I'll send
what
you in the private
chat.
What decade do you think? I could check real quick. But these are recent.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. How to seed. Use commuter aircraft with their jet fuels doped with aerosol generators, like sulfur. Also, the use of UAVs or blimps for aerosols dispersed could be considered. Even tall stacks of coal-fired power plants to geoengineer. And this one literally shows exactly what I'm talking about.
Spraying stuff. It's not extra tanks on the bottom of planes.
They don't need them. Now, not to say that
the
CIA...
But that's when pilots and mechanics and stuff will tell you there's no spraying because there are no sprayers.
They don't need them. I mean, this entire page is filled with about 30 different peer-reviewed journal entry, publications where they talk about adding sulfur to the gym specifically.